You're listening to a feed of the Association of Music Podcasting at musicpodcasting.org.
This is Cami Chaos from Strange Love Live, and my husband is a peanut.
Shut up! I'm trying to do a voiceover!
I'm Dr. Normal, and I'm a peanut. Welcome to IRC FM, and here's your host, the man with the largest Johnson in Australia.
Johnson, Johnson, Johnson. Paul. Johnson, Johnson.
IRC.
This podcast is part of the Blueberry Network. There's no ease in podcast and no ease in blueberry.com.
You're listening to episode 50 of IRC FM, and I am definitely enjoying putting this particular episode together. And thank you to everyone who has supported IRC FM over the last 50 weeks. I hope that your support continues in 2010. Wow, 2010. Yes, it's around the corner. And it's around the corner. And I am even starting to program my music for 2010 now. We played this particular song on episode 25, my catching up episode. It was after I returned from the United States, and it's called Find Our Way Again by Men Who Listen. This is a great band. Check these guys out. This song definitely was an earworm for me. I have played this song over and over and over again. I initially first heard it on the Boise and Beyond podcast with Tigger. Hey Tigger, how you going? Not too cold for you over there, is it? And I heard this song, I heard in an interview that Tigger did with the artist, and it was a song that really stuck in my head. It's catchy. You don't have to look too deeply in it for heaps of deep meaning, but it's just one of those songs that you'll remember for a long time after you've heard it. It's called Staring at the Sun, and it's by Nick Doherty.
From Boise and Beyond Podcast. How are you doing? Hey, I just wanted to say congratulations on episode 50. I can't believe you're that old. I'm just truly amazed at the number of podcasts you and Judy can get out in a week. In fact, it's so many. I'm only on October, but I just want to say congratulations. You just absolutely amaze you. And I hope you and Judy and all the Channel Earth family have a very Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year. Bye-bye, and thanks for putting out such quality shows.
Gazing out the window, hiding behind my book, teachers chalking up chalkboard, I don't care. She's giving me dirty looks. There's only dragons in my notebook. Only stories in my head. Lord, I hope she doesn't call on me again. Got no idea what she just said. Tell me, who have I become? Staring at the sun, wondering who it is that I'm supposed to be. I don't fit in this crowd, tried but I'm burned out. And I wish that I was outside having fun. Staring at the sun. Gazing out the window, sunk down into the couch, still awake from all the fun we had last night. Our so-called friends have all passed out, but I'm as empty as these bottles. A different kind of high. So grab my headphones, take me back to Neverland. Let me stare up at the sky and wonder who have I become. Staring at the sun, wondering who it is that I'm supposed to be. I don't fit in this crowd. I try but I'm burned. To the beat of my own drums, staring at the sun, yeah, at the sun, whoa, at the sun, yeah, the sun, oh. So throw the backpack on the floor, I don't need it anymore. I'll put my own books on my shelf. Been searching high and low, but all I really wanna know, is it okay to be myself? Is it anymore? Am I the only one staring at the sun, wondering who it is that I'm supposed to be? I don't fit in this crowd. To the beat of my own drum,
Episode 50. I could go through and list all of the artists on that have been a part of IRC FM, but I don't have to because that's what the website's for. www.irkfm.com. There is a list of all the artists that we have featured on IRC FM. And go and tell them that you heard them on IRC FM.
This podcast is a proud member of the Association of Music Podcasting at musicpodcasting.org. The association is a group of over 50 like-minded podcasters who showcase great Podsafe music each week. AMP has members from the US and Canada through the UK, Portugal, Germany, and all the way round to Nepal and Australia. As you can imagine, the music these podcasters play is as varied as their locations. Blues, indie rock, jazz, reggae, folk, metal, we have all the genres and more. A truly eclectic mix of music to satisfy every musical ear. Each Monday, we produce AMPed, a weekly digest of the best tracks played by our podcasters. Every week, there's a new host, and for them as well as you, it's a musical journey of discovery. Not only will you hear great new music, it's a perfect way to discover great new podcasts such as Suffolk and Cool, a global mix of the very best independent music, emanating from a barn on the east coast of England, at suffolkandcool.com. First thing though, get over to musicpodcasting.org. You'll find links to all the member shows and get yourself subscribed. Do it now!
The Association of Music Podcasting has been a great source of not only information, friendship, but also music for me. I have also hosted an episode of the Association's podcast, which comes out weekly, called AMPed New Music Weekly, where podcasters in the Association have the opportunity to submit their tracks, and there's a different host each week. So you get an idea of a wide range of music from a wide range of genres from a wide range of presenters. And this song came to me from Justin Wayne from the Justin Wayne Show, one of the many quality music podcasts in the Association, and there is a complete list also on oakfm.com. And this also comes into the earworm category. Justin actually supplied me two songs for my episode of AMPed New Music Weekly, and I was rather desperate for music at this particular point in time, so I put out a "Help me, I'm stuck for music, please submit some now" sort of email. And Justin came back with me with two suggestions. There was the suggestion that I didn't choose, and then there is this suggestion. The only reason why I chose this particular suggestion was because the name of the band can be spelled out phonetically, and coming from someone who has a podcast called Echo Romeo Kilo, which is my ambient noise podcast, I thought, well, a band with a phonetic sounding name, that got it over the line. And since then, hearing this particular song on many, many occasions qualifies it as an earworm. And in case you don't know what an earworm is, for me personally and for other people, it's one of those songs that gets stuck in your head and you can't get it out. Sometimes it happens first thing in the morning and you necessarily haven't even heard the song, but it's stuck in there. So here we go, folks. This is World Machine by Sierra Alpha, and I played it on IRC FM episode 40.
knuckles upside outside Nana's hands.
I hope you're enjoying the music here on IRC FM, episode number 50. And we're celebrating some of the good times here on IRC FM. Old time memories, big hits, I don't know. I just like saying down the pipe and into your ears at the end of each week. Because I've played a wide variety of music here on IRC FM, believe it or not. I've played country, I've played jazz, I've played piano, I've played orchestra music. I've played rock, I've played punk, I've played metal, I've played pop, I've played strings, I've played a wide selection of music. And in case you have nothing to listen to over Christmas, I suggest that you go back, particularly if you're a fan of a particular style of music, go back and listen to a couple of other episodes, especially if you are a new listener. But today, in a very warm car, we have a special guest, and this interview basically came about because of my involvement with IRC FM. Would you like to introduce yourself, special guest?
Sure. I am Cez Julian, and we are in Oakland, California right now. And I have just released a new album in January called On to the Next that Irk got a hold of, and he liked one of the songs on it and played it and let me know of his travels. So when he hit town, I said, I am taking you out for some food and drinks, and here we are.
And that's exactly what we've done. We've just come out of Park Lane, which seems rather appropriate for some reason. It was an awesome dinner. Thank you.
My pleasure. It's good to put a face to the name.
Absolutely. Now, it was quite a few weeks ago that we actually played one of your songs, and we'll be playing that particular song at the end of this episode, so we can hear what Cez actually sounds like when she's singing and not necessarily just talking to us. So How do we find each other? That's an interesting one, and it's pretty much how I find a lot of musicians for IRC FM. This is actually the first artist interview that I've actually done, and we'll be having snippets of this on IRC FM. So how did we find each other?
I guess what I belong to a PR website that's sort of helping me get my music into the hands of people like you. So. And you belong to them on the other side of it. So they send it out to places that are willing to listen to and check out new music. And then if people like it, they'll get in touch with me and let me know that they are interested in some MP3s or whatever. And you got in touch. I guess that's how it happened.
And that's exactly what happened. So for all of my audience on IRCpod who haven't heard your song yet, and they didn't hear what I said about you on IRC FM, why don't you take us back and tell us how you got into music to start with?
How I got into music. I started playing piano when I was 4, and took classical piano lessons and sort of had parents who had a mixture of sadism as well as encouragement. So I was forced to practice every day, which I'm very grateful for now. But yeah, so I played piano, and then I started playing classical viola. Kept practicing every day, an hour a day, and then taught myself guitar at 16, and that's kind of when I started switching over. So yeah, I've been playing kind of my whole life in a variety of genres. I've played classical viola in many symphonies, and you know, gigged in many bands on guitar, punk bands and blues bands and all sorts of stuff, and keep coming back to the solo stuff. So that's what this album is all solo.
And so when did you decide that you wanted to be a musician, and rather than just play as a kid and then basically forget about it as you grow up and move into other things?
I don't know. I don't know that it's that simple, Eric, that you make a decision. I mean, for me, it's so integrated in my life that I think it is clear to me that music will always be a big part of it in whatever way it manifests. In some years it manifests in greater ways, and some years less. But when I did move to San Francisco from Philadelphia in 97, I came out here to make it in music, and I pushed really, really hard at it and was gigging all the time. When I didn't have gigs, I was playing open mics. When I wasn't playing open mics, I was busking in the streets in the Upper Haight and getting my demos in anyone's hands and everything else. And eventually, as often is the case, that didn't work out. And I didn't officially give up that dream, but I moved forward in other arenas of my life, and music perseveres. So I come back to it anyway.
And so with the way that things are, you can have a full-time job, which is something that you do, and you also do your music as well. So it's quite possible to do both and to have some success, and mainly the enjoyment as well, as which is what you were saying a bit earlier.
Right. Yeah, we were talking about this earlier at dinner when the recordings weren't rolling, but that there is a lot of similarity to your podcasting, or you know, any somebody who loves gardening or something. I mean, there are ways you can take it to, you know, 100 percentile level and spend all your free time on it and any variety in between. That's definitely true. And most certainly in the States, and I imagine this is probably true in most of Western civilization, if you're a musician who has not yet made it, it's very, very hard to make a living off it. So the odds are you are going to have another job, and it's going to be a full-time job, and it's just where you invest your other energies, I guess. Yeah, how passionate you are about maintaining that.
And that's the thing, you're not necessarily restricted because you haven't signed up with a big label. They don't own you, so you can go in whichever direction that you choose. And because you're multi-talented and multifaceted, you're not just pigeonholed into one way, into one genre, like some of these, say, pop princesses are. That's all they do. You can vary yourself according to whatever floats your boat, to use an Australianism.
We use that one here too. But yeah, also whatever the month or the year brings too, you know. But I do, I have been working independently on an album with an electronica producer, and he gives me sort of these electronica sketches, and then I try to write songs or add a bass line to it, which is a totally different genre than I've ever experienced songwriting as, and is very challenging and a lot of fun. I'm not owned, I tour and gig when I feel like it. So with this album, I actually intentionally tried to write each song in a different genre, so because I wanted to challenge my musical capabilities but also keep it interesting, and because it's a solo album, it's me and whatever instruments I'm playing on it, and so that is sort of a unifying string on it anyway, that to have a country song followed by a blues song followed by a sort of madrigal song, it doesn't sound as jarring as it sounds because it's all me. So that was actually really fun to be able to do whatever I wanted.
So that would be one advantage of that. And so, as you just said, you can go in whichever direction that you want. It's probably a bit of a self-discovery journey as well, according to where you are when you write the songs. Now, I've interviewed authors before,
But as I said, this is the first time that I've interviewed a singer-songwriter. And so how do you get your inspiration for your songs?
For me, they come from life and often from relationships, which I think is pretty much true for a lot of art in general, not just music and certainly not just singer-songwriter, but... my songwriting process is usually comes from a bass line that I like. It doesn't start with a lyric. A bass line that might develop into a more intentional genre, that develops into a riff, that develops into perhaps a chorus or a verse. And then from there, I usually start scatting until I find some melodic lines that I like. And honestly, at that point, I usually start spitting out some words that I didn't know were in my head. And if I hit a phrase that I like, that's where I start. And then I start focusing on the lyrics. So just one chick's interpretation of writing a song, as any author would tell you to. But I'm not the type of person that wakes up in the middle of the night. I do write songs in my dreams, but I cannot remember them. And they could very well be absolutely horrid. So I don't know. But yeah, it's like any art. I think it's varied depending on the day, the month, the person, the era.
So do you carry around like a notebook or something like that to write down your ideas?
Not at all, but because I work from home and I am, you know, my job is computer oriented, I'm not often in positions, you know, where I can't access paper, but it's not, for me, the process is very intentional, and this whole album was, I set deadlines for myself and said I'm going to write 12 songs in 12 weeks, and that was, I'd spend several nights a week working on one song and then move on to the next. So it was more like setting aside work hours, just like when you probably set aside your podcast
yep.
hours. And though you might have ideas in your head, I don't know if you have a pocket filled with like little notes that you've been making.
No,
all the time,
not usually.
Or if they're all, you know, just sort of a few general concepts in your head or whatever. But yeah, for me, it was... It was a very intentional sort of a work space that I would set aside to make it happen.
And so you're not only writing the songs, you're also writing the music
mm-hmm.
to go with it as well.
Right. I'm playing all the instruments, yeah. On this album I play, there's my acoustic, a Guild, my electric guitar, which is a Stratocaster, electric bass on a couple of the songs, which is a Fender. I have one song on the auto harp. Two of the songs I play viola on as a backup, and then I think there's one or two songs that have backing vocals as well. But yeah, it's all me. It's all me playing around with my pile of instruments.
So you're not playing with all these instruments at the same time?
No. Although most of the tracks on this album were done as live takes, so. For the most part, they are me playing guitar and singing at the same time. For example, the song you played on your podcast, Cat Suit, was a live take of me playing the electric guitar and singing at the same time, which doesn't work for everybody. But in my experience, when I record them separately, both the guitar and the vocals feel a little flatter and a little more... just architected in a way that isn't really human. So that's what works for me. But no, then I can't, unfortunately, when I gig, you know, play the viola at the same time I'm playing the auto harp and the bass. So
I was just getting a mental picture when you said that you'd been busking before. I just sort of got the whole one-man band sort
right.
of deal.
Yeah. No, for the when I busk, it was just the acoustic guitar. Although, you know, in the Upper Haight, and I don't know if you got a chance to spend any time up there, but
no.
The Haight-Ashbury area of San Francisco is sort of known as a pretty big, history of hippie and Jimi Hendrix and Janis Joplin, and it still perseveres with a lot of homeless youth. And so there were always people wandering around with nothing to do. These kids and their dogs with, you know, didgeridoos and, like, tambourines
yeah.
and stuff. So it was pretty easy to make a band on the spot, but I wouldn't say it was ever any good. Glad I don't have any of those recordings.
So talk us through the album. You said that you dedicated some time each time to write a song.
Mm-hmm.
Was there any one thing apart from you playing all the instruments and you doing all the singing that even though you've got different genres, sort of shines through as like a common theme?
Well, I think, you know, the sort of the blues voice, I think, does persevere regardless of the songs. And certainly putting on my cat suit, the song that you chose, is a little, has a bit more of a blues influence to it. Yeah, that's something that's sort of really a natural heartfelt way to play with notes in music that isn't so metered and strict and done the same way every time is probably the musical tie, and of course the conceptual tie or the emotional tie is you know, this album is probably about two major relationships that sort of occurred within pretty close to the time frame, so you always have that excellent fodder. Yeah, but yeah, the two of them together bring the blues, right?
Yep.
give me more.
And so the song that we'll be playing at the end of the episode, you better give it its full title.
Yeah, it's called Putting On My Cat Suit. Putting On My Cat Suit.
And of course, I played that a few weeks ago on Irk FM, and I found it to be an earworm. Was that the intention?
You found it to be what?
An earworm. One of those songs that you can't get out of your head.
No, but every musician loves to hear that. No, I didn't write any of it as being intentionally hooky, although... if it sticks with you, I mean, that's one of the bigger compliments you can pay us, so that's great to hear. Thank you.
So what was the story behind that particular song?
I think it's a bit of a backlash song. It's sort of like inability to connect with people and just sort of saying, you know, fuck it, I'm going out. And I mean, the first refrain is just sort of, I'm putting on my cat suit and going on a bender, because my songs aren't always sweet and my love's not tender. Sort of, screw you, I'm going out and having a good time and I'm not gonna sit around and cry about this. So once again, I don't think that was the intention of where I started on the song, but that's where it landed, so I can't deny it.
So you were quite happy with the way that it turned out?
I think for the most part, yeah, I am. I am pleased with it as a group of songs. I think that something that any artist feels, but also this is probably true in anything we try to do, once again with your podcast or somebody, you know, planting flowers or whatever, you can put a vast amount of effort into getting something to maybe 85% quality, and then you can put double that effort into getting it to 95% quality, and then you can spend the rest of your life getting it to 99%, you know? So, you know, I tried to make this as great as I can, but I still listen to it and can find faults left and right with it and ways I'd do things better. But I think perfection is sort of in our head in an unattainable situation, so I am overall very pleased with it.
But having said that, there's nothing worse than hearing a CD and then going to the live act and they sound nothing alike.
That's definitely true, and that's I mean, we didn't use any auto tuning or anything in the studio, and like I said, a lot of these were single takes, a lot of these were me playing, so yeah, this isn't this is quite the opposite of that. This is just real. This is pretty much exactly what I sound like on stage or in my living room. But yeah, on live, I mean, I have one live album that I've done that I really like because I was very well rehearsed and very prepared for the gig, but it was also very in the moment. And so, you know, you could go into the studio and never achieve perfection that you're supposed to achieve, but on stage, you just... do as awesomely as you can, and you can practically get to the same place.
So what was it like the first time that you saw the completed product with the CD and everything like that?
That's a good question, Eric. I was kind of anticlimactic. I expected it to be a little more, but I think for me the real climax was when we actually finished it and I had the master of the album in my hand. That was sort of the pinnacle of the, you know, the adrenaline rush and the achievement. And when I had it in my hand, it was just It was just in my hand. Yeah. I don't know. It didn't get any further than that.
There wasn't just a massive, like a drum roll and, you know, here
no,
it is.
No, I totally expected that. I expected it to be something sort of monumental, and perhaps that's why it wasn't. I don't know. But, yeah, it's, I'm pleased with it, though, so.
So where do you go from here? You've put this particular album out. Where to from here?
Yeah, I was mentioning to you earlier that I'm sort of taking a break from songwriting and even a break from my songs, and just have been playing a lot of classical piano in the last 2 months, which is sort of a recalibration, I think, for me. But the guy who produced my album, J.D. Moyer, who is also the one I've been working on, that sort of electronica duo that we're called Good at Human, and I think we're gonna start working on some more sketches in that realm. He does, he has a successful electronica label and electronica music, so he's always game. But something a little different. I don't know. I don't know if I'll put out another solo album for a while or what. But just keep making music in some capacity for sure. I'm gigging.
So you've got this particular album out, and you also said you've got a live CD that you were proud of as well. Have you got anything else out apart from that?
Well, I have there was a first album I put out that was a studio album, but that was really self-produced and limited quantity kind of thing. And there are 12 original songs on that... I don't perform anymore, that I have the recordings of buried in secret MP3 places on my website, but yeah, again, I'll send you one, Eric, if you promise never to put it on the air. Yeah, I'm just really sick of those songs. I'm pleased with the quality of that too. I gigged with those songs so many times, I just don't ever want to hear them again. So yeah. So there's the three albums in total, the two studio albums and the live. But this is certainly the biggest one for me in terms of venture, in terms of reaching out to PR companies like the people that you work with, and you know, getting people in the podcasts around the world to hear it. It's super exciting for me.
I'm putting on my cat suit and I'm going on a bender, 'cause my songs aren't always sweet and my love not tender.
This is Says Julian from San Francisco, California, and you're listening to IRC FM.
So this says goodbye to the contact sheet of memory, to tiny blurring images that skew and fade like everything so strange when I am waking. My ribcage cold before I know I step into my body. Autofocus and go ho-ho. Now I'm putting on my cat suit and I'm going on a bender, 'cause my songs aren't always sweet and my love not tender. The lighting's been dramatic and the portrait is evocative, but the picture I keep taking is turning more and more sullen, so strange when I am sleeping. My hands are warm, my heart makes room, I step up to your body. Auto-zoom, now I'm putting on my flight suit without posing as repenter, 'cause my songs aren't always sweet and my love's not tender. Say, hey, tomorrow will be better. Lay me down, I seem to be untethered. Days are impossible to conquer, and the nights are even longer. I keep seeing flashbulbs from the corner of my eye. I can't imagine what's worth taking under this filthy sky, so strange when I am silent. The noiseless roars are deafening, I step into my song and sing. Now I'm putting on my armor without posing as repenter, 'cause my songs aren't always sweet and my love's not tender. Say, hey, tomorrow will be better. Lay me down, I seem to be untethered. Days are impossible to conquer, and the nights are even longer.
I must, of course, say hi to all the new listeners and also hi to all the listeners who have been listening for some time. We have a fan page on Facebook and we have well over 100 members now, and that is rather awesome. However, I think I'm the only person called Eric in that particular fan group, but this particular person that I'm about to play now, her name's Erica. So anyone who's called Eric or Erica would definitely have to get a play. Yes, that's what I should do. This song is called When Will It End by Erica Shine. And then immediately after that, we'll feature a tune by a guy named Eric as well. Just for something different. It's Eric Double Shot here on Erk FM. I don't know.
Gone away, stranger beneath my skin. The tape in my head plays on and on and on and on, shows me what I've become. And I tried to forget I've let you go. When will it end? When will this life be mine again? When will it end? And will I beneath my feet, moments have passed me by. Fantasies falling, dreams are slipping away. How did it come to this? And I've tried. Forget you so many times.
So as you can see, I've got a guitar, and I'm not afraid to use it.
Dum 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 dum. And that song is called I've Got a Guitar and I'm Not Afraid to Use It. And that comes from one of my favourite episodes of IRC FM, my instrumental episode, which goes way back now. It seems like such a long time that I did that instrumental episode, where all of the songs you heard were completely lyrical free. Well, that's what an instrumental is. So the only voice you heard on that episode was mine. And that was episode 32. That's a rather cool song. I've got a guitar and I know how to use it.
Welcome to Let's Get Naughty, the podcast that takes a humorous look at sex. And tonight, we're talking...
Oh, wait. Hang on a minute. Let's Get Naughty. What? There's a strange guy that I can hear in my cans. Let's get... What did he say? Voiceover guy, help?
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm not doing that show tonight.
No. Voiceover guy? Who is this guy? Who am I talking to?
It's Eric from Let's Get Naughty.
And I'm Eric from IRCpod. This is going to be so freaky.
Two Erics in podcasting. Can podcasting really handle this?
So apart from all that, you're also a musician, and you've been doing that for some time, I gather?
Yes, I have. I've been a musician for over 30 years, and I just released my first... I have 5 CDs out, but most of the CDs are kind of soundtrack-oriented. But I had been in a band for years, and I finally got around to releasing my first hard rock CD. And that's actually getting a lot of good response from people. And I'm noticing from the sales on iTunes that it's not just in the U.S. You know, where the Finns love me. I'm getting a lot of popularity in Finland and the UK. I actually have a friend of mine who's in Belfast, Ireland, who's going to start working, distributing my music for him. And in reciprocation, I'm going to be starting to distribute his music in the US for him. So, we have a pretty good deal going on there, and I'm trying to make it, you know, I'm trying to make it as big as I can, basically,
yep.
Even though the music industry is really tough nowadays.
Now, I know we had this discussion the other day, but I also do a music podcast called IRC FM, and I'm more than happy to give you a play. Have you thought of distributing your music to music podcasters? Have you had much of a response there?
You know, I have tried contacting them. I actually sent out a bulk email to a lot of them. And I've only, aside from yourself, I've only had one other person. So I'm going to have to spice up the email a bit and try again. And actually, one of them, it kind of bothers me because he knows who I am and he didn't respond. But I'm not even going to mention him because of that. I know as a musician, you just have to keep plugging away. I mean, you know, we were playing when my band was active, we were playing shows every month, you know, 2 or 3 shows locally. We actually drove down to, Hollywood, and we got to play down there for a few shows. And, you know, I mean, back in the 80s, one of the things that, like, you did was a band who was bigger than you at the time, you would offer to help be a roadie for them. And by doing that, they would recommend that you get to open a show for them. So, you know, my band, we used to help roadie for Metallica when they were a club band. And we got to play with Metallica. And I think the biggest show we ever played was we ended up being the opening act for Motorhead because their opening act didn't, they weren't able to come to the States. I can't remember who it was supposed to be. And there was another band that was local that had to cancel at the last minute. So it was basically us and then Motorhead. And I mean, that was a tough show because the people didn't want to see us. They wanted to see Motorhead. So we were getting stuff thrown at us. And, you know, finally about 15 minutes into it, they were like, oh, you know what? These guys are kind of cool. And it gave us a bit of a lift, a bit of infamy, but still, it was, you know, it was really hard. So, after the band broke up, I just started writing songs on my own. And, this new CD is actually, for me, one of the best things about it is I played all of the instruments on it. There's only one song where I had a friend of mine help me out and do some backup vocals on it. But otherwise, it's all me in its live and raw form, basically.
And so, what instruments can you play?
Well, I'm playing the guitar, which is my main instrument. So I'm guitar, drums, bass, keyboards, and that's pretty much all you're going to hear on this. But I've also in the past played the trumpet, the flute, the clarinet, the cello. Tried the bagpipes. Didn't do too well with the bagpipes. That took a bit of work. And I'd like to try like the viola or the violin, just because I've seen some people using that in rock music that comes out really cool. And I'm thinking I might be able to do something like that. You know, the flute, if you put the flute to rock music, you always sound like it's Jethro Tull. So,
yeah,
you know, I mean, I'm not sure. I still like learning instruments and, you know, I like learning weird foreign instruments. A friend of mine showed me how to make a didgeridoo out of a piece of PVC, and I got pretty good with that. But I like to do, in addition to rock, I like to do a lot of weird ambient soundtrack music that has a lot of really odd instruments in it that people aren't expecting. And, you know, I'll tune my guitar in a weird way, kind of thing, or do kind of experimental type stuff. So there's that side of me that's definitely hard rock. I definitely have a kind of progressive modern sound that I do as well. And I actually, just previous to this CD, I released a song, a CD that was actually based on H.P. Lovecraft's writings, and it's called The True Sounds of Relia, and it is this sort of ambient work that just sits in the background and sort of, you know, Lovecraft wrote about, you know, these unspeakable horrors that are so unspeakable I cannot speak of them. And so, you know, it's like, okay, well, what kind of an environment would they live in? And I just sort of started playing around and creating these sounds. And, you know, I've had some friends that have had copies of it, and they said, you know, there's just something about that. I can't listen to that in a dark room. You know, like I like to do with Pink Floyd's Dark Side of the Moon. That's just not, it makes me feel bad when I do that.
So where do you get your ideas for your music from?
They'll come from books I read, people I meet. You know, I one song that didn't make it onto this CD was a song I wrote called Lonely Girl, that was about a friend of mine who, she always was like the center of attention, but she could never notice it. And, you know, it was that, you know, here you are, you know, everyone's looking at you. Why aren't you realizing what's going on? And it all came out of just, you know, sometimes a melody will pop into my head and I'll build off of that. And then from there, it just, you know, then the lyrics will come to me. And another thing I like to do too is, you know, I'll listen to a song that was popular at one time, and something will stick in my head going, you know, that was recorded back in the late 60s, early 70s, and they didn't have the equipment we have now. I think I can do that one better. And a current project I'm actually doing with six other people who are in various parts of the country and the world is we're trying to do a cover of the Immigrant Song by Led Zeppelin. And it kind of came as a dare, and I really have never been a singer, but I was challenged to do the vocals on this one, and I have to say that I really nailed that scream in the beginning. It was a lot of work, but, you know, I mean, I've been playing music for so long, and now to go into this new area of starting to try and sing at 46 is kind of interesting. And so, you know, I always like opening up new doors for myself.
And that you do. And the funny thing is, to pie all in the one room is one thing, but to have people on the other side of the world, that'd be pretty much amazing.
Yeah, well, it's what we're calling the virtual studio, because what's happening is that I'll start out and I'll put together the basic tracks, and then I send it out to everyone. And for instance, our drummer who's in South Carolina, he'll basically listen along to it, jam along with the basic tracks, add a few little things in, and then he sends me back his track, and then I just replace the drum track with his drum track. Then, you know, I've got my separate guitar track, and my friend in Belfast puts his guitar track, and he sends me that, and I just basically add it all together, and in the end, it's just amazing what we end up doing. We did this piece for a independent horror film called The Blood is the Life. And my buddy Ian in Belfast, he says, okay, here's the deal, guys. The key is C minor. Time signature is 3/4 and 120 beats per minute. Give me something. And we had no idea what any of us were doing. And, you know, I came up with this chord progression, and I'm thinking, well, geez, there are other chord progressions you can do in C minor. What if someone's doing a different chord progression? And I sent it off to Ian, and when he sent it back to me, it was this 15-minute piece that was used in the intro, or is going to be used in the intro of this independent horror film, and he made it all work together, and it just, it sounded great, and you know, once he had everything together and he could hear it and say, okay, you know what, this needs, this vocal needs to be doubled here. So he would double the vocal. And, you know, he'd say, we need something to connect this piece with this piece. So he'd come up with something to connect it. And it was really, you know, I had a hand in it, but it was Ian who put everything together. And that was the thing that made it so cool, is he was able to take these pieces based on three items and create this great piece of music out of it. And so this is something we're going to be doing more frequently too, just sort of as kind of like a little game, is, you know, he's going to give us the key, the time signature, and the beats per second, and we all come up with something, and we're going to see what comes out of it. And I mean, there was me with my electric guitar, there was drums, there was someone playing a recorder, and a girl doing vocals and Celtic harp, which really made it sound eerie. And we had a couple of flute parts in there as well. So, you know, the technology that you have out there today makes things available to you that, you know, people just haven't even thought of before. And I just think it's great what we can do, because I tried doing something similar to this about 5 years ago, and we just couldn't get it to work back then. But now there's enough easily obtainable music software that, you know, someone doesn't need $500,000 to build a recording studio. I mean, 10 years ago, I wrote an article on how to build your own recording studio, and I was saying for $5,000, you can do it. Well, now, you know, you can do it for like about $2,000, you know, provided you already have the instruments.
Yeah, that's right.
I mean, you know, this iMac that is sitting here in front of me is my jewel. This is my baby. What I've been able to do with this has just been outrageous. And
I have had such a great time putting this episode of Irk FM together, the special 50th episode. What am I going to do for show 100 this time next year? Who knows? But it's been a lot of fun to put together. I had a core list of songs that I wanted to play. Then when I went back to my interviews, I went back to the people who sent me bumpers and to the people who sent me messages for the 50th show. I went back to them, I played extra songs, I put some of the interviews in. Wow, the next 50 are going to be great. So I just thought I'd go through now and list for you the songs, the bedding music, and also the people who have contributed to this episode. There's a full list and links on the show notes at irkfm.com. For the songs, we started with Samantha Murphy with I Wanna Go Home from episode 1. That was the theme show. We then went on to Complicated by Citizens of Contrary Knowledge from episode 5. Everything Is Good by Second Dan from episode 10. Then, of course, we went on to that song that a lot of people like, Judy's Got a Stick Shift by the Hot Rods from episode 15. Then we went to Getting Old Sucks by The Thump. We've played that on various episodes, as we have the next song, Do-Si-Do by Julie the Band, which became the Irk FM 2009 Earworm of the Year. Thank you, Colin. Thanks, mate. Seriously, thank you. Then we heard Sleep by James Kahu from Across the Pond in New Zealand. Carry the Light by Kelly Ritchie. Kelly has been played on various episodes of Irk FM, and indeed in 2010 she'll be hanging up the guitar for a while to concentrate on some other things instead of touring around the place, but I hope we continue to hear some music, Kelly, somewhere. And then we had the song Wait For You, very pretty song by Chrissy Coughlin, followed by This Train Won't Run by Jerry Lee Serber from episode 20. Then we had Find Our Way Again by Men Who Listen from episode 25. We had The Earworm Staring at the Sun by Nick Doherty from episode 30. Can You Hear Me by All Mankind on episode 35. Another earworm. What is it with me and earworms? Thank you, Justin. World Machine by Sierra Alpha, as featured on episode 40. And then we had the Erica Eric Double Shot, Will It End by Erica Shine, and I've Got a Guitar and I'm Not Afraid to Use It by Eric Kahalshan, also better known as Eric from Let's Get Naughty. Naughty, naughty. And then, of course, Around the World by Natalie Brown, the theme for the Irk FM Musical United Nations Tour. Thanks, Nat. And the 2009 theme for Irk FM September by the other Chris Hardy. Now, indeed, you may recognise some of the music that we've had underneath my voice. My Crazy Elephant by Evolution Punks, Electric Elves by Michael Kelsey, Overland by Michael Kelsey, The Funky Farm from Michael Kelsey. Now, I actually haven't played this song in full on Irk FM yet, but I like it anyway. It's an earworm. Thank you, Dave. Thank you, Caroline. It's also the theme of the Bugcast, and it's called Bug Lips by Chris Jurgensen. Thank you, Chris. And then, of course, The Longest Road by Kelly Ritchie. Does anyone remember when I put Michael Kelsey together with Kelly Ritchie? Man, that'd be an awesome show. And we also had iGen Part 2 by O Dreamer from episode 41, which was a part of the 2009 Irk FM Musical United Nations Tour. Our interview snippets were from my trip to the US, where I spoke with Cez G, Erica Hauschen, and Chrissy Coughlin. I spoke to Cez in California. Eric's interview was interesting because I was in Reno, Nevada, and he was in San Francisco after we met up in San Francisco, and Chrissy was in New York City. If you want to hear those interviews in full, an interview that I did with Devo Spice from The Thump, and also the interview that I recently did with Rob Saunders from Juice Management and Promotion, there's a link on the show notes to the IRC FM interview page, which will hopefully be filling up in 2010. Now, also a massive thank you to the people whose voices you have heard during this episode. The first cab off the rank was Rich Palmer from Audio Gumshoe. Thank you, Rich. Colin from the Ouroboros podcast, and I'm really glad that Colin is continuing his podcast in 2010. Shauno and Jen from San Luis Obispo, Phantom Power Media, Shauno Graham Inside My Head, and formerly Hyper Nonsense. Thanks, guys. Richard from the Wasting Time podcast, I have a message from him that I'll be reading in a moment. Thanks, Rich. It has been... Richard has been one of the inspirations behind this show, and it was indeed him who exposed me to aerial publicity. And it was by listening to Richard talking and playing some music at the same time, which also inspired me towards the direction that is now IRC FM. So thanks, Rich. Les from Zelda's World, Tigger from Boise and Beyond, Kimmy from the Rock Deli and the Metal Deli, and of course I can't go this far without thanking my mum Judy, who was inspired to do her music show Judy's Blast FM by listening to IRC FM. Also, I'd like to thank all of my listeners. Most of them I know, some of them I don't, and if I don't know you, feel free to get in contact with me and let me know who you are, and I'll say hi. Thank you also to all of the members of the Association of Music Podcasting. Thank you very much, guys, for the friendship, the music, and the laughs all throughout this year. It's been great. Thank you to all of the artists as well, the PR companies and the management groups, because without those people, IRC FM would basically be impossible. It's a great time to recognise our music partners, Juice Management and Promotion, and Rob Saunders has been an absolute demon when it comes to giving me great music this year. Thank you to Ariel and the team at Ariel Publicity Cyber PR, also the PodSafe Music Network, or Mevio's Music Alley, or whatever they want to call themselves this week, IATA PromoNet, and also MusicSubmit.com, and yes, thank you to all of my music suppliers, because without you guys, I could not give you the amount of music that you have heard this year. We've had well over 300 artists featured, so that is great. Also, thank you to a couple of the other voices that you hear throughout the year here on IRC FM, Cami Chaos and Dr. Normal, who provided my voiceovers for me. The voiceover session basically started on the Strange Love Life couch as a way to do some voiceover for me for my talk show IRC Pod. But with the Peanut line and the Johnson line and Dr. Normal mucking around, It was a very interesting 45 minutes or so of recording. And so thank you to Cami, and thank you to Doc Normal as well for their sense of humour with allowing me to play those clips over and over again. And Doc, you were right. You heard it basically every week. So thanks, mate, as well. And also a very big thank you to Jamendo, who were the exclusive music suppliers for the 2009 IRC FM Musical United Nations Tour. Go back and listen to all of the episodes for that particular series, stretching way back from Australia, over to New Zealand, across to Africa, Asia, South America, US, Canada, the UK and Europe. An excellent selection of music there, all from the one music supplier, and it was interesting to see what music I could come across from across the world. Here's a special message for IRC FM from my good mate Richard Jeffries from the Wasting Time podcast.
Yeah!
Richard writes, the Wasting Time podcast would like to congratulate IRC FM on 50 fantastic episodes promoting independent artists and supporting PodSafe music. As a fellow podcaster, I know that it is not easy to put together a podcast, let alone creating the musical themes that you have done in past shows. Your dedication and hard work is very appreciated. Keep up the fantastic work. Again, congratulations, and here's to hearing the next 50 episodes of IRC FM. We're coming up to the end of episode number 50 for IRC FM. I hope you've enjoyed it. I'd like to finish up with a couple of theme tunes from this particular show, IRC FM, of course, which comes down the pipe and into your ears at the end of each week. And considering that we have just finished the 2009 IRC FM Musical United Nations Tour, I'd like to play the theme song for that particular tour. This is called Around the World by Natalie Brown. And hopefully in 2010, I'll actually get to talk to her. It'll be awesome. She's been rather busy at the moment. I believe, hopefully, she's even writing me an elephant song. Who knows? If anyone wants to write me an elephant song for my mum Judy, who's mad about elephants, just in case you haven't heard, I can think of at least 3 or 4 podcasts that they'll get played on. So this song's called Around the World by Natalie Brown. And apart from the fact that I really, really love the song, and, you know, I could listen to it all day, I did really go around the world with the 2009 IRC FM Musical United Nations Tour. I started in Australia, went to New Zealand, didn't really like the music that I could choose from in New Zealand, and I'll talk about why in a moment. Then I went across to South Africa, across to Asia, South America, the USA, Canada, across to the UK, and I finished in Europe. And one of the things that I wanted to do was play music from the one music supplier, and that was Jamendo. And unfortunately, the music from New Zealand, I don't think, met the standards that I have here on IRC FM. So I decided to replace that particular episode with one from an independent band in New Zealand called AMP. A-M-M-P. And so, here's Around the World, because that's what I've done in more ways than one.
Pack your bags, let's get away. I'm in the mood to leave today. Won't you worry about the rent and all the bills, cause maybe he'd tell your boss that you're on leave. Call your friends and family. Hold the mail and change the message on your voicemail.
Okay, it's December, but I'm going to play a song called December. No, I'm not. To finish up this episode of Irk FM, I'd like to play the theme tune for Irk FM. This is theme tune number 2, but it's one that I like. It's called September, and it's by the other Chris Hardy. Thank you everyone for listening. Hope you've enjoyed it. Thank you to everyone who has contributed in some way, shape or form to this episode and the other episodes as well. I look forward to continuing to provide you with quality music in 2010. Until next time, I'm Irk, and good night, Interweb.
This podcast is part of the Blueberry Network. There's no ease in podcast and no ease in blueberry.com.
Looking for more IRC? Go to channelirc.com.
This show is protected by a non-commercial, attribution, no derivatives, Creative Commons license to protect the interests of the artists.